Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series called Anchored, and we've looked at position, we've looked at posture, and today we are talking about people. And I'm joined by two special people and friends and guests. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose, welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning, Taylor.
Good to have you. And we're joined by the prayer pastor who prays around the clock. Rhonda Patterson's back on the podcast. Rhonda, welcome back.
Hey, Taylor. Good to be here.
Always good to have you. Okay, Jose, we're going through Ephesians and looking at a lot of different attributes of the church. And this week in particular, looking at gifts.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on all.
Yeah, the gift.
You know
the gift,
I'm going to ask you.
The gift is you. You are the gift, Taylor. The people gift that God gives the world a gift, and that is his people. God gives his people a gift, and that is other people. And it really is cool. It hit me when I read this very familiar passage in the church in Ephesians 4 that you see three times that God gave, God gave, God gave. And God gives gifts to people because people are the gifts. And so it's one of those things that is important to remember, especially if we're just starting out in our faith. Yes, it's so important to have our disciplines with Jesus. Yes, it's so important to grow up, to become more like him, to believe in the one true God, and to follow him. And it's so important to do this with others and depend on others because that's God's way.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get into that, talking particularly about what it looks like to receive the gifts and then to respond with the gifts. But first, Rhonda, I'd love to hear your thoughts just on this series as a whole, being mm-hmm. anchored, and just even the message on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well, each week, I am loving this series, and each week has been so good in that I've come away just really thinking deeply on some of the truths you've shared. I've been able to share and remind people of some of the statements you made, you know, from stage one being the boat, when mm-hmm. you talked about being anchored and how the boat will drift some, but it doesn't drift off.
Yeah.
It may sway, but it doesn't drift off. And so just being able to really think about that, because people love visuals. Mm-hmm. And so I've loved that in this series, that there's just it being anchored is such a visual for us to really contemplate, whether it's in our day-to-day life or in ministering to others, you know, whatever it is. So it's just been really rich.
Yeah. Jose, you've had great talks before, messages about gifts and about serving. I'd love to hear your thoughts on just how this ties in with the Anchored mm-hmm. series and being anchored like those boats.
Again, we can think about being anchored in our faith mm-hmm. and being set in our beliefs and in what we believe about God. We can also be anchored mm-hmm. in our posture, so we can individually walk out our faith. Those two things are really individual, but this is where it gets complicated and it gets messy because mm-hmm. it includes other people. And God wants us to be anchored with people. He wants to be anchored in the church, and that's the way that God has designed his move here on earth, is through a group of imperfect people who are all on a journey to follow the only perfect Savior. It's us together mm-hmm. that we need to stay anchored to. And I think I know where you're going, Taylor, but there's a lot of things that keep us from being anchored in the church. And that's, is that where you were going?
Like what?
Yeah. Well, I'll say one quickly is this whole idea that our faith is an individual sport. It's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. Mm-hmm. And so if we have faith, yes, we are going to heaven. We know that that is an individual call, but we're also called to be in this with one another and play our different positions on a team.
We are a group of imperfect people. We talk about that almost every Sunday. Rhonda, would love to hear your thoughts on that as well, as far as the things that you have seen either personally mm-hmm. or just in the lives of people mm-hmm. that you're caring for and praying for, where sadly the church is often a part of that drifting away from being mm-hmm. anchored.
Right. Well, I think about just relationally with families. We see families that are broken apart just through hurts and pain in their lives, and the church is no different. And it breaks my heart when I see people get hurt or experience difficulty within the church, within different ministries are working together and it's not going well. And it's kind of like, well, I'm going to take my checkers over here and I'm going to leave. And they either end up in another church or bouncing around, or they sadly quit attending anywhere. Instead of pressing in, we are family, and conversations can be hard sometimes to navigate through, but it's so worth it to get to the other side. I've experienced that. If you've been in church long enough, you've experienced it. So just staying within the family and working through those things is worth it. And God reveals things in our own heart that He's wanting to change, and I don't know. It's just a blessing to navigate through those hard places together, but we can't do it if we're not anchored together.
Yeah. That's exactly right. No, that's so good. Jose, you spent some time speaking about just our role and positions that we can play within the body of Christ together, even the spiritual gifts that God has given us. But before getting into that, I'd love to just talk about this concept of receiving the gifts, recognizing where the gifts come from and then receiving the gifts. What does this practically look like, just as believers, as we are serving, living, just abiding with God in a body of believers, not an individual sport? How do we model that as far as just receiving the gifts from God?
Yeah, I think that we need, I said this on Sunday, we need to be in the game. So we need to play the game out. We need to be active and see, okay, hospitality, is that something that I truly enjoy? Is that something that comes easy? I'll never forget a group that I was leading in college. It was a community service community group. It didn't work because all we did was just work for nonprofits, and one of them was this horse rehab center. We cleaned the hooves. That was our community service. It was a very messy, dirty job. It just wasn't very well attended. I'll give a shout out to one of my roommates who was very faithful because he was compelled by some hours that he needed, because let's just say that there were some state agencies that were keeping him accountable. So he was faithful, but so was this other person, and she was wonderful. And one day she stopped attending. And I asked her, hey, what's going on? And she said that it was too easy for her, that serving other people just came too easy, that she enjoyed it so much, and she just needed to stop because God was asking her to do hard things. And I remember telling her, I don't think that God works that way. I think that you have the spiritual gift of service. I mean, the spiritual gift of giving. She gives her time so freely. She enjoys it. She comes alive. And yet there was this idea in her head that God wanted things to be hard. And sure, God does put us through hard circumstances, but there are also these spiritual gifts that come to us that are fun for us, that give us life. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what those are unless you actually try them out. There's a ton of assessments out there. Try those, take those, but the best way to really find out what your gifts are is just by operating them.
I loved you. You said that on Sunday, and I love that because that's it. It's finding what makes you come alive. I had someone ask me that years ago about something they were asking me to consider, you know, stepping into, and that's what they said. Does it make you come alive to think about, you know, doing that? And that's what it is. It's just trying things. You may try something and determine, nah, that's not for me. It's not, I can do it. We have to do that all the time. We have to step into things that aren't necessarily our gifting. But the ones that really spur you and inspire you, those are something to keep an eye on, because that's where God may direct you.
Jose, you shared about this, even just this whole message, this idea that it's not an individual sport, it's a team sport. And yet, I think so much of our culture revolves around making everything an individual sport, that we're always comparing, we're always even celebrating the individuals that have succeeded. And so how just even can we as believers navigate the culture when it comes to the giftings that God's given us and the roles that we play as far as a team goes?
I remember a couple of years ago, you, Taylor, told me that we needed to focus on what the church needed versus what other churches are doing. Remember that conversation? And we looked at, okay, what do the people need? And so it was looking inward to the church, the thing, the people that we were called to shepherd and to help, versus looking mm-hmm. horizontally. What are other churches doing? How does this church do that? And I think it's the same. Our culture has a lot of horizontal. You know, we always look side to side, and not only are we comparing, we're also competing in some way. We want to be better. Well, in the church, that's not really it. I mean, we want to be better than Satan. we want to be better than the influence of the world, but we're not competing.
No.
The battle's already been won. We represent the King who's defeated death. And so the question is, what need is there in front of us that we get to meet? What opportunity is there for us to step in and say, I can be Jesus in this situation? And I think that's a big difference. We compare, we compete in the world, but in the church, we need to cultivate this sense mm-hmm. of love and mm-hmm. meet needs.
Love, that's it. That's the word right there, because when we're loving well, we're loving each other well, then that competitiveness about what the gifting she has or he has that I don't have, it just dims in the light of love. And so then we can look at them and say, I'm so thankful for the gift that Jose has. I'm so thankful for the giftings that Taylor walks in that I don't. I need those in my life, and they bless me. And so then it's not a competition. It's a, wow, how can we all gather and move the kingdom forward.
That's so good. So. This morning I was in 1 Corinthians 13, classic
there it is.
Wedding yep. verse for you. But yep. no, it says that love mm-hmm. Is not jealous or envious, and love does not brag or is not proud or arrogant, and just goes on to talk about not being self-seeking and exactly. just all of those things. So that really is the...
And before it talks about not being a clashing cymbal. Mm-hmm. And even if you're super talented, even if you're worshiping with the angels, mm-hmm. if you don't have love, it's all in vain.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've been talking about just so far about our posture towards people when it comes to the spiritual giftings that God's given us. But then, Jose, you also touched on just even our treasure as far as our money, the way that we give generously. And just why is that, even just in this context of being anchored, I think some people listening will go, okay, I've been used to a money talk at church before, and I know what the pastor's going to say, but how does this circle into this concept of being anchored?
Yeah, it's all connected, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, who where are you anchored? Where are you anchored with... the church? Mm-hmm. Are you investing your gifts and what God's given to you here in this place? Or have you put all of these other anchors that are not very good at anchoring the boat? Mm-hmm. And our money has a huge part of that. I didn't quote this verse, but it's super important. It says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So our heart actually follows our treasure, not the other way around. We need to recognize mm-hmm. where we invest our treasure. That's where our heart will be. That's where our anchor will be. And so if that's not the church, then let's take an inventory as to where that is and see how it's going for us, because I believe that the word of God is true. Mm-hmm. And if we're not anchored with the people of God, then yeah, we'll read the next few verses this coming Sunday. We're going to be tossed around to mm-hmm. and fro. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a good look for us. It's not a good life to live.
Yes. Yes to all of that. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I think what Jose, you shared just Philippians 4:7, but just the peace of God, that was the benediction you had for us on Sunday, but just the peace of God. I think that's what you were saying in this, because I think a lot of times we think, oh, the church wants my money, or oh, the pastor's mm-hmm. trying to get me to give more money. But it's peace that God wants for us. He has infinite supply of mm-hmm. money. So he's not trying to take a certain money. He wants our heart. And in that surrenderance of all the things to his altar, then we give a chance to experience his peace in a powerful mm-hmm. way there. So I think that's a tie-in for that. Jose, one of the things that I just love this truth and what you shared on Sunday as well, that the church is the hope of the world. So it's not just the social club that we pick the best one we can find and we try to be there for a little bit and then bounce around to another one, but instead there's a mission behind mm-hmm. the church. And so I'd love to just hear both of y'all's thoughts. I mean, this is, I know, important to both of y'all and the roles that you have stepped into to play for this, but how is it so important for us as believers to really grasp this idea that the church is the hope of the world?
I think about my story and how I came to faith. Mm-hmm. I was lost, and yet God used people to step into my life and fill me with hope. And since then, truly, mm-hmm. I thankfully, by God's grace, have been anchored in a church. And it was hard for me because I had preconceived notions of the pastor asking for money, this ask, almost like this. I always felt like, okay, the rug's about to be pulled from under me. Man's going to want to manipulate me. And then when I came to the realization that this is a design that God has given the world, be it the church, to move here on earth, to give hope. Again, I looked back at my story and saw that that was it. Another thing that I want to mention on this is that's why I brought in those stages of spiritual growth, because oftentimes we see the church as one, two, or three, meaning, hey, just check off the box, go to church, serve once a month because you have to. Thomas and Katie talked about that in their testimony, that they started giving because they knew it was just the right thing to do. It's not a bad thing. It's good to have that discipline even when you don't feel like it. But if that's where we stay, then we miss out on the other stages. And there's that whole concept of the wall. When life gets hard, when a loss, unexpected loss happens, and that can look like so many different ways. But that's where the church should really come in. And that's where we have an opportunity to be hope for someone that may not have a lot of hope because of whatever circumstance. So that's where, personally, it gets excited. It's a both and. It's not an either or. It's a both and. Let's be that amazing church that does things with excellence on Sunday morning and gives hope through our gatherings. Let's do that in our community groups. And let's do that with eyes wide open as we walk around. A loss and
so good. You started that with your story, and it's the same for me. And praise God, I found him very young at 9 and really wanted him to be Lord of my life. But as a child, thinking like a child and just beginning to be distracted by the things of the world, I spent a lot of years in the very long rope, anchored still, but long rope, and a lot of swaying and a lot of poor choices and not living for Christ. And so I'm thankful that I was anchored still, but I know that God allowed me to experience a lot of that to understand that He is my only hope, and He's so worth it. It's not just that I'm desperate for Him, but that He is worthy of that in my life. And once I fully received that and understood that, my life has never been the same. And so when you have experienced that, you want that for others. And that's where I know that we are the hope of the world because of what He's done in me and what He can do in anyone. So
once we get to that point of recognizing that, the very thing that He's done for us, I think something, I don't want to project this onto other people, but I know this is a big thing that I've worked through and continue to work through, is in that response to God, this whole be versus do begins to creep in. This idea that I'm doing it out of response for God, but then maybe it's a few weeks, months, years, all of a sudden I may be getting into more of I'm doing this out of obligation, or I'm doing this to try to right some wrongs that I had done in my past. And so next thing you know, I've lost that initial awe and just humility of receiving God's grace. And instead I start to think that I'm earning it. So as we're in the game, in the church and as believers, and we begin to do things in response for God, how do we continue to keep going back to that, making sure that we recognize our identity and our worth is not in what we do?
Yeah. To me, it's that walking daily and knowing His love for me, how He sees me, who I am, what my identity is in Him, and asking Him to continually renew my love for Him. Because we're looking at this world all around us with all kinds of distractions, and it's so easy to get pulled away, taken down by hard things in life. And so celebrating Him, exalting Him, but asking Him to renew, you know, do that frequent daily checkup with the Lord to ask Him to renew your strength and your passion for Him.
It's good, Rhonda. Yeah. A few verses down from these verses in Ephesians 4, we'll see that Paul talks about putting off the old mm-hmm. and putting on the new, and he uses the illustration of clothes. Mm-hmm. And so we put on clothes every morning, and so it is a daily exercise, and for me it is tied to mm-hmm. being anchored in Christ and really recognize, how am I doing with other people? Am Absolutely. I acting out in the old, or am I acting in the new? And mm-hmm. it's a constant journey that God is growing us to become more like Him. And again, mm-hmm. I thank God that He has chosen mm-hmm. you guys to do this with, mm-hmm. because I'm so grateful for the way that both of you have sharpened me and helped me in my journey.
Well, I think another aspect to that question that I've learned that God's taught me is even just this concept of secret service and secret prayer, mm-hmm. secret service, not the mm-hmm. government agency, but serving in secret. And I think that really helped. Just as I do that more and more, it tests my motivation behind certain things. It tests my motives, because mm-hmm. if I'm doing it for other people to see, or even if I'm hoping to get some sort of affirmation or approval from the person I'm serving, but I really do think there's truth in what Jesus tells us to, when we pray, we do it secretly. We go into a closet, and when we serve, we don't let our left hand know what our right mm-hmm. hand is doing. And so I know there's naturally going to be, as we're in the game as a church, people are going to see, and mm-hmm. we are going to pray for people in public, and there's gifts and beauty in that. And yet at the same time, I think for me, that has really helped me, where That's I go, good. Would I still do this if no one saw, if no mm-hmm. one knew, am I still doing this mm-hmm. out of a response to God? Because mm-hmm. if it is the case, then no one does need to see, because it's just, you know, I just trust that I'm doing this for God, and that's all that matters. But then things can begin to creep mm-hmm. in sometimes, whether it's my ego, my desire for, you know, appreciation or things that I'm doing. And so I think that's another area too, that I can just, you know, hopefully is helpful for people, that as they live that out. And that's the words of Jesus mm-hmm. that have that.
Yeah.
Jose, would love to have you give the last word yeah. as far as we look at the last few weeks.
Yes. Excited about this coming week. We'll look at what happens when we do this really, really well. And we're going to continue the conversation of how God uses the church to be the hope of the world, and what a beautiful thing that is when it's done well and in harmony.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide, or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.